You can be seated, and good morning, Life Community Church. It's good to be here with you this morning. A little bit unexpectedly, I like to prepare a little bit more than I had this morning, but, you know, sometimes God has different plans. I want to make sure that everybody, especially visitors, fill out your communication card so we can stay in contact with you. We know who you are. That's very important to us as a church. For our regulars, this is obvious, but I'm not the pastor of Life Community Church. Our pastor, Kenny Rager, is under the weather this morning, likely the flu that's going around, been shutting down all the schools and everything like that. And I'm going to call him out this morning, though, because at our search team meeting that we had Tuesday evening, we got to talking about the sickness that had been going around, the flu, and how to shut schools down and things like that. And I'm going to read this because I want to make sure I get it exactly right. He said, "I can handle the flu, piece of cake." Now, Chris, well, wrong, Rager, you were wrong. You can't handle the flu. Anyway, I got a text this morning early and asked if I could do this, and I was really wishing that I'd hung onto my tux another day that I wore at night to shine. I thought that'd been awesome to be up here in my tux, but you're probably glad that I'm not. But anyway, my name's Carl Cole. I'm one of the deacons here at Life Community Church along with Mark and Daniel, and I've got a question this morning. And just for frame of reference for you, I'm a life group leader and a past Sunday school teacher, so I like a little bit of participation from the group. So my question for you to get things started and kicked off this morning is, what's the weirdest or most unusual gift you've ever gotten for your birthday? Vacuum cleaner. And it wasn't from her husband. Anybody else got something weird? Say it loud so I can hear you. A rock? Gummy bears? That's an awesome gift. I'll take gummy bears. Carton of cigarettes. That was just last week, wasn't it? Me being here in front of you today is Kenny Rager's gift to me. It's my birthday today. Thank you. Thank you. That sounded really bad, by the way. But I love you all anyway. It's a little bit better than what Mike was saying for me this morning. So, but anyway, I got a text at 6:40 this morning, and it read this, and I'm going to read them to you just so you can see how it goes. 6:40 this morning. It said, "Good morning, bro. You up and at 'em?" Now, anyone that has spent a lot of time with Kenny Rager knows that when you get a text like that, that there's strings attached. I didn't know what the strings attached were, but I thought, yeah, this probably ain't going to end well for me in some way, shape, or form. So anyway, I wasn't up and at 'em yet. I get up early Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday, I try to sleep in till 7. Well, it didn't happen this morning. So anyway, my response to him was, yeah, what you need. Because I'm a guy, I'm not going to say, yeah, I'm asleep, I'm not, you know, I'm up, I'm ready, man time. But anyway, I try to sleep until 7 anyway, and my response was, yeah, what you need, Kenny? Knowing that response was dangerous. But still, I was foggy enough that I really probably wasn't thinking real clear. And so Kenny replied back, and I'm going to read the text as he sent them. It says, "Not for sure yet. I'm monitoring it. Woke up with chills and aches. My temp is 99.8, so not that bad. I'm not feeling well, but I'm trying to make the call to preach or not. Wanted to reach out to you as my friend and deacon to get your thoughts to see if you have a sermon in your back pocket." Now, for those of you that don't know me, I'm a construction worker. I own a construction business. This deacon thing that I have and the life group leader thing is kind of part-time. I don't have sermons in my back pocket. If anybody does, give me your name and I'll shoot you a text next time this comes up with Kenny. You know, I've got like six, but you already heard a couple of those. So, but yeah, I don't have, it's not like that I'm just sitting on a big nest of sermons, just waiting for the opportunity, Charlie, to come up here and do this. So my mind is screaming, tell him you can't. If you do this, you're going to screw it up. You got a good excuse. You're supposed to be back there with your wife, Shelly, teaching the kids. He likes you. He'll let you off the hook. You sound really country when you listen to the sermons back online anyway, so that's awkward. You know, so that's the frantic things that are going through my mind. And in the meantime, all those things are going to my mind screaming, no, 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 don't do this. Just let's back out of it gracefully and I'll be good. And that's going through my mind, but I text him. I'm pretty sure I've got some saved on the computer. We will make it work if necessary. I'll get to looking now. What an idiot. Anyway, let's pray this morning. We'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful. I'm thankful for you in my life. I'm thankful for the opportunities that you present me, Father, to be a light for you, Father. I'm thankful for this church and for each person that walked through the door this morning, Father. I pray that they leave today with just a hint of your message, Father, with a hint of your word. And I pray for Kenny, and I pray you heal him, and he comes back. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So, how'd I end up here anyway? My mind's telling me, Michael, get out. Exit out the back door, but I'm here in front of you. My life group, led by Brett Booker and myself, we're studying kind of a light, fluffy study called Experiencing God. And if you all have ever not done that, great lesson. Recommend it very highly. But that's what we're doing right now as a life group. And if you aren't in a group yet, I encourage you to join one. They're fantastic. We've got several to choose from on Sundays and Wednesdays, so I'd like for you to find one if you're not in one and get involved in that. So why am I here? Just this week on day five, the title of it is God Speaks with a Purpose, right there. And in the margin, the moment God speaks to you is the time he wants you to respond to him. Thanks for just refreshing my mind on that, God. So it's right here. So I can't feel good about backing out of doing this. So anyway, I responded to him. He spoke through Kenny today, and for whatever reason, I was supposed to be here this morning. So you're going to hear what God laid on my heart, and I'm actually quite excited about it. So take your message notes out that's in your bulletin, and the front, the side that has writing on it, turn that absolutely over because that has nothing to do with what this sermon's about today, what this message is going to be about. And I appreciate the team up there. They're going to try to get some of the sermon references in there, so they've been on it this morning. So just bear with us, and God has laid something on my heart this morning. I'm big on families, marriages. That's where my heart's at. Men leading well and doing what they're supposed to be doing. I've done it not well for many years, so I can tell you what the right way is because I know what the wrong way is. Did you hear about the guy that was called to the doctor's office? He went to the doctor, and the doctor sat him down and said, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. Which do you want first? The man responded, give me the good news first. So the doctor said, okay, your tests are back, and you've got 3 days to live. That's the good news? Well, then what's the bad news, he said. The doctor replied, my receptionist has been trying to get a hold of you for 2 days. Now, this morning, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. But let's take the man at the doctor's office, and let's take the good news first, and hopefully, by the end of it, it'll work out a little bit better for us than it worked for him. The good news is the church is family. That's good news. Look around. Take just a second and Bebop your head to both sides a little bit. Look around. This is your church family. That's good news. Yeah. Who's excited back there? Let's set some foundation for what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. If we travel all the way back to the first book in the Bible in Genesis, we see before the church and before the commandments, there was family. God loves and he created family. And always keep in perspective that whether you're young or old, whether you're married or single, whether you have a huge family, or whether you're adopted into one, whatever your background, you have a father that will love you and that sacrificed for you. Now, the Bible has a lot of language and scripture that parallels the church with the family. And I'm not going to bombard you with tons of scripture this morning, especially since you don't have any message notes to kind of keep up. But I'm just going to try and put in plain language that we can understand this morning and hopefully give you something to discuss and carry with you after we leave here. Like I said, I'm not going to use a ton of scripture, but I can't stand before you and not use God's word to base this message on. In Ephesians 2:19, it reads, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." Some lessons that I want you to remember this morning, okay? First, family matters. Second, the church is a family. And third, the church combines the earthly family, the ones we're familiar with the spiritual family. Family matters, church is a family, the church combines the earthly and the spiritual family. Hebrews 2:11 kind of further describes how we're part of a spiritual family. "For both he who sanctifies or sets apart and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren." We're family because we have the same Heavenly Father. That's the only way into this family. Now, there's a general sense that all humans are children of God, and occasionally the Bible talks like that. Acts 17:29, it starts out, "Being then the children of God." So that's us, being the children of God. But most of the time, the Bible's family language, it actually is a little bit more restrictive. Jesus gets in the face of some of his adversaries or enemies and says, "They're children of the devil and not of God." If they were children of God, he says they'd love and obey God rather than loving themselves and their own man-made traditions. He kind of outlines that in John 8:31 through 47. I don't know if that's up there. We're not going to go through all that one this morning. But John 8:31 through 47. And in Luke 12, Jesus defined his brothers and sisters as those who obey and follow him. So we're really good, especially when we're acting in flesh, we're really good at loving ourselves and doing what we want to do. Who has trouble with being selfish and loving them and doing what they want to do? Does anybody have trouble with that? I'm good at it. We can justify our actions anytime we do something. Can't make that church meeting. Ball game's on. Anybody use the ball game as an excuse not to do something at church? "I don't want to come to church today. Man, I haven't missed for like 4 or 5 weeks. I'm not coming today. Be all right. Man, I was out late last night. I'm not bringing my family to church this morning. We'll just sleep in." I've used them all. I've used them all. And I want to keep this message positive, but I also want to speak the truth to you. Now, let me make it crystal clear this morning. Not everyone is part of God's family. I hope and pray that all of you here are. And if you're not, we're going to have a chance, an invitation at the end, that you can become part of God's family. And if you are part of God's family, it's not because you're black or white. It's not because you're rich. It's not because you're poor. It's not about because you're the most religious person here. It's not because you're the nicest person here. The family of God is not defined by the family you were born in, the rituals that you observe, or the place that you go on Sunday mornings. A person becomes part of the family of God by believing and obeying the gospel and salvation through Christ alone. A person becomes part of the family by believing and obeying the gospel and salvation through Christ alone. Hear this. Anyone can become part of the family no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. Anyone. I really don't have nice clothes. Doesn't matter. Boy, Carl, I've got some nasty skeletons in my closet. Doesn't matter. You know, I ain't been to church a whole lot lately. Doesn't matter. Figure out an excuse. Whatever excuse you've told yourself in your head that you feel like disqualifies you, once you say that excuse, put doesn't matter behind it. Galatians 3:27 and 28 puts it this way. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's good news, and it can start today. The church is family. We have the same Father. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a family resemblance. Most of our earth families do anyway. At first look, you might not think the church family has much resemblance. From the outside, it's probably true. We come from different places, different races, different backgrounds. Some are tall, others small. Some have dark hair, some almost no hair. And after reading that out loud, it kind of sounds like a Dr. Seuss rhyme a little bit, doesn't it? Made a little too rhymey. Our personalities are different. Some of us are outgoing. Others more reserved. Some bubble over with energy and some are more laid back. We are individuals. We are different. That is okay. That's how God created us. He made us that way. We have a goal of unity and oneness, not sameness. You know, if we all wanted to be the same, then, you know, we'd make all the other deacons grow a beard too. That'd be pretty awesome. Maybe we could do that next year, but it's not necessary. Everybody doesn't have to think the way Chris does or respond the way Chris does to things or the way Karen does. Or the way Greer does. But you know what we need? We got to have a love for Christ. That's what holds us together. But there should be some family resemblance in our church family. Morally, spiritually, even in our behavior and reactions to things around us, there ought to be a little bit of resemblance. Because that's what the Bible's driving at in Romans 8:29, as it's written that we should be conformed to the image of his Son. Also in Philippians 2:5, it says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. We resemble one another because the same Spirit is trying to produce the same inner qualities in our lives. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're a family. That's good news. We're not all alike, but our family resemblance overshadows our differences. We're family. It's good news. You know what that means? You're not alone. Look around again. We have a big family that cares about us. I had a big family that sang happy birthday to me this morning. That's awesome. Our brothers and sisters are there to support and encourage us. There's a lot of us here that have said, hey, you know, I've had surgery, I've had this, I've had a baby, whatever it is, and people's taken meals to you. Or you've just gotten out of the hospital, people are feeding you, people are calling and checking on you. You know what that is? That's your family loving you. When we're down, they lift us up. When they're discouraged, we try to cheer them up. When they hurt, we hurt. When they're honored, we share in that joy. The family includes older folks that we learn from. The younger folks, they make us laugh and encourage us and remind us that family will live on even after we won't. We're building legacies as we do that. We needed a big family Friday night to help pull off the night to shine. And this family wasn't big enough to do it. We used a whole community that night, brought together under one umbrella, and that's showing the love of Christ to make that successful. Couldn't have done that without family. We are family, and we're all headed to a great family reunion someday. We're going to spend eternity loving the Father and getting better acquainted with one another. We'll meet relatives we never knew we had. It'll be a great time when the family meets at the Father's house. Now, I told you that I had good news and bad news. The good news we've been discussing is that the church is like a family. Now, the bad news. The church is like a family. Stephen, you laughed a little too loud at that one. The truth is, families, we don't always get along. Someone once observed, families are like fudge, mostly sweet, but with a few nuts. Comedian George Burns put it this way, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family that lives in another city. And, you know, we've just got out of the holiday season, and you know that, you know, we spend time with our families, and we love it a little bit, but, man, it's sometimes nice when they go home. Right, Greer? I'm certain we've all felt like that at some time or another with our families. Maybe you feel like that now. The truth is, all families have their moments, even mine. I mean, just because you're a preacher or you have a leadership role in the church, that doesn't mean you're immune to life and to normal family problems that people have. Many of you have encountered family and the drama that comes along with that. Maybe you had it this morning getting ready for church. Did anybody hear things like, why are you touching me? I can't get this tied. Why are you so immature? You know, we probably heard things like that this morning as we were getting ready for church. But we got to church, and we walked through the door, and everybody's handing us a bulletin, and what happens then? We put a big smile on, and what? How you doing today? I'm fine. Did anybody say that I'm fine this morning and it really wasn't fine? I did, because I was nervous because I was going to be doing this. How you doing? Good. God's got this. And inside I'm going, boy, this is going to be a train wreck. We don't have to put on those masks. Church is one place that we wear them more than anywhere else too, right? The one place that should be the safest for us to take those masks off, Charles, and let people see really who we are, but we don't. We put this one on. I'm fine. Thanks, Chris. I'm fine. Do you remember Winston Churchill's immortal words at the beginning of World War II? We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. For many of you, that sounds like family vacation. And for many of us, it feels like that we're at war in our homes. And we are. If you think Satan doesn't want to tear you apart at your house to rip that foundation right there, think again. He likes it there. Families don't always get along. Brothers and sisters quarrel. Moms and dads don't see eye to eye. And here's the real shocker. Church families don't always get along either. The good news is the church is like a family. The bad news is church is like a family. One man advised, if you think you found the perfect church, don't join it because you're going to screw it up. Remember, one man was perfect. He died so that you and I would have eternal life if we accept that gift. And no matter how together somebody seems to have it, when they go home, get out of their vehicles, they go in the house, they shut that door, there's problems. Don't measure yourself or your family against others. Christ is the only true measuring stick that you have. The issues your family and the church family are the same problems dealt with in the Bible. They're not new. God, Jesus, the writers of the Bible knew human nature and knew the real life problems in homes and churches. It tells younger believers to honor older ones. It calls for purity because temptation is not a modern event. It calls for tenderness, mercy, and responsibility because those are lessons family have to learn over and over again. We struggle with rivalry, misunderstandings, and misspoken words. We're warned and given advice about handling conflict, controlling your anger, restraining from gossip, and taming the tongue. All of it was addressed to the family. All of that was needed because the good news is the church is like a family. And the bad news is church is like a family. And I feel like, you know, I've really only kind of scratched the surface on what can be taught about family. But before I wrap up this morning, I want to talk to the guys for a minute. Dads, grandfathers, husbands, young men, even boys. Wives, don't gouge your husbands in the ribs while I'm doing this. Resist the urge. But I want you to hear me, fellas, this morning, okay? Some of you may be doing it right. Some of you might be doing it wrong. Some of you might not even know how it's supposed to go down. But hear what I'm going to say. God makes it clear our role as men in our homes and in the church. Families need to be in church and family needs spiritual leadership. And if you're a man, raise your hand real quick this morning. That's you. It's a big deal and it's not easy. Spiritual leadership is commanded. Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 19. I'm going to read that real quick here for you. Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 19. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. How often are you talking about God at home? Men, you should be setting the example. It isn't easy, but get over it and do it. Spiritual leadership makes a difference. Let's go to Acts 16, 31 through 34. Acts 16, 31 through 34. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Your family and those you influence need your leadership. It isn't easy, but get over it and do it. Spiritual leadership reflects the heart of Christ. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Love your wives humbly and sacrificially. It isn't easy. Whew. It isn't easy. But guess what? Get over it and do it. Live out your faith in front of your wife, in front of your children, in front of your coworkers. And singles, if you're seeking a spouse, pray about it. Guess what? If you look in a dump, you'll find garbage. So be prayerful. Seek God's guidance in that endeavor. So as we wrap up, have I gone as long as Kenny does? Gosh dang, almost. There's good news and there's bad news. It's both the same. Church is like family, but it's no ordinary family. It's the house of God. There's a lot at stake. We have a special responsibility. The father's reputation is on the line. It's not about us. It's about him. But since this is no ordinary family, we also have some extra assets. The father knows best for this family. His advice, it's not like my advice, his advice always works when followed. It's not easy, and at times we feel things are out of control, and at times they are, because he wants us to seek him more than we are. He wants to be leaned on in difficult times. So I'd like for you to do something just a little unusual this morning as we wrap up. Stand up a minute. If you've got family here, grab a hand. If someone is alone this morning, somebody take their hand, and I'm going to pray a blessing over you this morning and invite you to accept Christ right now if you haven't done so before. Come forward, do the invitation time. Or perhaps you just want to rededicate yourself. Maybe you want to rededicate your family. The altar is always here. Maybe you need to follow the way he's laid out for you. Or maybe you just need the courage to do it that way, okay? I'm going to pray. The musicians are going to come. We're going to have a moment, have a time of invitation this morning. And I'm going to pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father God, you see each heart here, Father. We can't hide from you. We try so many times. We try to run. We try to keep the things that we're ashamed of hidden from you. You see us as we are. And Father, I pray that today that we get closer to you just one step. Father, I pray for each family represented here today. Father, I pray for protection over them. I know Satan prays at the door, trying to tear families apart, trying to do generational damage. But Father, we rebuke him this morning, right now, in your name. These families here are dedicated to you, Father. I pray that they find your foundation, they stand tall and strong on that. Father, if they're not bringing God into their home, Father, I pray that tonight they do. I pray that all across this congregation and across this city that there are people crying out to you, Father, for protection for their kids, for protection for their wives, for protection for husbands, as we're bombarded by the world that wants to tear us apart. Father, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that needs to give their life to you, Father, they give that to you. We thank you. You're a marvelous God. In your name I pray. Amen. The other deacons will be here. Come forward now as we sing.